When we think of the gods of ancient Greece, we usually conjure up a picture of some perfect celestial being, with an incredible amount of power, performing some fantastical deed. This representation comes to us from writings like the Iliad, especially in passages like the one I'm about to read, which is about Hephaestus scorching a battlefield and fighting off the Scamander River, kicking off a battle between the gods. However, Homer does not use the gods in the traditional religious sense. For him, they are poetic devices, which I will talk more about after I read the passage, first in the original Greek, then my English translation of it. Hosephath. Hephaistos tetitus keto thespidaes pur. Protamen in pedio pur dieto, caie de necrus polus hoi ra cat autun halis esan, usctan Achilleus. Pande exeranthe pedion, sceto de aglaon hudor. Hoste hot hoporinos boreis neoarde aloein, haips anxeraine, caere demin hos tisetheire, hos exeranthe pedion pan cad de ara necrus cain. Hode es potamon trips efloga pamphanoosan, caeonto pteleae tecae tea ede muricae, caeto de lotos te ide thruon ede cuperon, ta pericala rethra halis potamoia pefuce, teronten celeus tecae icthues hoe catadinas, hoe catacala rethra cubriston entha caentha pnoe eteromenoi polumetios hephaistoio. Okay, so that was the passage in the original Greek, and now I'm going to read it for you in English. Thus Hera spoke, and Hephaestus made a godly fire. First he burned the field, and ignited the many corpses that lay there in crowds, killed by Achilles. The entire plain was scorched, and the shining water was stopped, just as when the north wind suddenly dries a newly watered garden, and the one who tends it is made glad. Thus the whole plain was scorched, and the corpses burned. Then into the river Hephaestus directed the radiant flame. The elms and the willows and the tamarisks burned, and the clovers and the reeds and galingales burned, these produced in plenty by the beautiful winding river. The eels and fish deep in the whirlpool suffered, who tumbled down in the beautiful water here and there, afflicted by the blast of resourceful Hephaestus. This passage is interesting because it is one completely driven by the poet. One of the things that Homer does very well is that he turns the gods into tools for the poet that allows him to impose his own will on the poem. A book entitled Death, Fate, and the Gods by B.C. Dietrich states that Homer does this by delocalizing the gods and placing them in sort of families, composed of the Olympian family, the various deities, and finally Zeus as the ultimate deity. With the gods reduced to essentially a poetic device, the poet, not the characters, often are the only ones that name them. When a character recognizes a divine force, he often comments just with Theoi, which means the gods, because they are simply thanking or cursing the general divinity. Most of the divine intervention in the Iliad is done suddenly, and is usually not directly dealt by the deity in question. Here, however, Hephaestus is scorching an entire battlefield just to help Achilles, but he does not know which god is helping him. That's knowledge that is only privy to the poet and the readers, or listeners, of the poem. The simile in the middle of the passage is also an example of Homer taking license. Homer uses some words here that are rather unique. The word axerane, meaning to dry, for instance, is unique to Homer for this time period, although it does come into use in later Greek. Also the word alon, translated in later Greek as a threshing floor, but in this context could mean any piece of cultivated land. While this gives the readers a nice simile comparing Hephaestus burning the battlefield to a farmer or his garden, it's really kind of strange because a farmer wouldn't typically be happy about his garden being dried up. The only way it makes sense is in relation to a previous simile, indicating a farmer's distress about having his garden flooded when the Scamander was attacking Achilles. So it seems like Homer is just making up the simile, or the feeling of a farmer, for effect. He's taking poetic license, much like he did with the insertion of the gods into the poem, and just creating this thing that contrasts very well with the overall violence of the scene. Essentially, Homer is the only real deity in his works. In fact, the word he uses as an epithet for Hephaestus at the end of my passage is polumetios, which means resourceful. This is the only instance in Homer that it is used not to describe Odysseus. He takes an epithet usually associated with a mortal and attaches it to a god. I'm not really sure why he does this, nor have any of the commentaries I've read on this line said anything, but it seems as if Homer is placing the god on a level similar to mortals, exerting his will once again in the poem. His ability to plug in these divine beings and actions, as well as just make up everyday aspects of living for the sake of his narrative, gives him divine license.